Welcome to Unlearn. I'm Kat.
And I'm Misha.
And today's topic is social media and activism. And if you didn't get it, it's social media and activism. Thanks, Misha.
You're welcome. I tried to add some harmony. It didn't work.
And into my words.
Yeah, it didn't work. I'm sorry.
Social
media.
Let's do a quick overview of what social media is.
Let us know, Kat. What is that?
It came around, I guess, when we were like teenagers. It came around with the internet.
Like the AIM messenger or is it AIM?
AIM. Yeah. Like AIM. I don't know. Does that count? I know.
That's social media. Yeah.
MySpace was a thing for
what was your AIM name?
It's so embarrassing.
Now I want to know. We need to know. God.
It was AP7688. 7688 is my birthday, and AP stands for Angelic Princess, which is how I thought of myself. See, it said it was embarrassing, but now everyone knows. So the secret's out. I'm a 27-year-old woman, and I ain't ashamed.
You know what? I love it. You're still a princess / queen.
Yes.
Do you know what mine was?
What?
Mine was X Veggie, X Freak, X. What I didn't realize is that when you would need to enter in that name into other things, the three X's really prevent you from being able to do a lot of stuff because people think it's inappropriate, especially because I had the word freak in it too.
It kind of sounds like you're getting freaky with veggies when you got three X's in things.
But I am vegetarian.
She just really likes vegetables, like to like cook and eat and not. And dirty things
with. Yeah, exactly. But all that to say, social media has come a long way.
Yes, like, look how it's evolved. I remember my first like Facebook when I was just graduating.
Facebook used to be lame.
It was
MySpace was the jam, and you always fought about who was your top eight, and then you could make the program the little thing where the rain hearts would come down. Come on, you was not on my level with MySpace.
I didn't do MySpace until my freshman year of college, and then I was like, and that's like in 06, and I was like, nope.
Yo,
MySpace, I ain't into this. I stay into this. It wasn't my life.
People got so mad over that top eight. Like, I lost many family members over top eight.
MySpace ruins lives.
That's why it shouldn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
But then Facebook came up.
Mm-hmm. It came up big.
It literally drop kicked MySpace. I was like, get out of here.
It was huge until everybody's parents got on, and then it was done. Everyone's like, next, Instagram. Which brings us to Instagram and Twitter, which kind of separates what you can do on Facebook. Because, like, Facebook, you know, you post pictures and you update your status. And Twitter, you could post pictures on Twitter, but you update your status as much as you want. And it's just, like, status updates everywhere. And then Instagram, all your photos. So it's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Like, the two social medias got really big off of breaking up which is technically still the most popular form of social media today.
I tend to like Facebook though.
Yeah.
Mainly because I feel like I'm really nosy. And there's so much information on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can know so much about people, causes, companies. Mm-hmm. Yo, it's all there.
Yeah.
Twitter, you just gotta dig too much unless you follow in like 500 different people.
Yeah.
And Instagram? Have you been on Instagram?
I haven't. I'm not.
The less clothes you wear, the more likes you get.
I've heard of Insta fame. Like, happy with me, I'm Insta famous.
My sister was complaining one time because when she takes her cute pictures with her hair down and her makeup on, she'll be getting like, 150 likes. But she took a picture with me and my Yale degree, she got like 4 likes. She was like, what is wrong with people? It's really interesting to think about what gets people's attention on the social media platform.
Not educated black women.
For sure. Not attractive in that big black gown. I get no shape. You have no shape. So that kind of brings us to what we wanted to talk about today, though, is like the content of social media, how it's really used today, how it's used to like start movements or sustain movements and activism.
Well, like, so social media, and this is more Twitter focused. I'm more focused on talking about Twitter. So many Twitter trolls in the world. And like, sometimes I just can't like be in or near troll. Or around Twitter because too many people are just being ignorant as idiots. And I just can't. It's overwhelming. So in the same breath, I'm going to say that Twitter has really been successful in social, in the way that we have social movements, like our generation have social movements. So let's take the hashtags. So let's take the hashtags Black Lives Matter and Say Her Name, and which just started, like, social media has brought so much attention to very serious issues like police brutality, racial discrimination, etc., like many others. But I guess, like, right now, what's the biggest topic? It's like Black Lives Matter.
When thinking about hashtags, for one, okay, I feel like they've been hijacked a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I hijack them all the time for my own causes. But I think they're really incredible. I mean, I feel like, you know, with certain newspapers or news organizations, it's very easy to paint certain people or certain movements in a very specific light. And with the ability to post things on Twitter and use hashtags, it's a very easy way of saying, like, I fit this profile or I fit this movement that you're painting this very specific, you know, identification with. Here's me and I don't fit this at all. Like, here's a way of like connecting people and not necessarily being like hashtag PSL season, you know? Like, have, even though I'm excited for that, a way of like really connecting people through like this little symbol. It's insane. So the Black Lives Matter one is really good. The Say Her Name one is amazing. I even love the ones that are like, I don't know if you saw the one, it was like, which picture would they show of me or something like that, where a lot of people just kind of posted pictures of them looking extremely classy and then partying or something and being like, you know, which one of these pictures would the news outlets choose when,
if I
got in trouble?
And I feel like social media allows you to have a bit more control over your narrative and like the narrative of the situation, because the news outlets are so biased. They're so biased. And that's such a great example. Like, which picture would they show? Like, they go to your profile. They see, like, a nice picture of you. They don't care. They want the picture of you smoking weed, holding up a 40 with, like,
14 guns in the background.
Right. And that's, like, and they want to paint your narrative to show that you are a thug, that you deserve to have been shot. Like, they don't want to, like, they're going to show a thug picture of Mike Brown, not his, like, high school graduation picture. Not, like, they're not going to, like, talk about how he was about to start college. And, you know, he was trying to do stuff with his life. They want to talk about his, whatever he did wrong to deserve, quote unquote, deserve to be murdered, even though he was unarmed. So the great, like, so that's like what I'm really enjoying about social media, because it gives you the truth, and it gives you other viewpoints, other vantage points, and you can really like really start to see what's really happening out there.
Do you think that certain people or certain demographics underestimate the use of social media?
I would probably say older people. I have to say older people, because I don't think that they really understand the power behind it and how impactful it has been for our generation. So looking how activism was organized in the past, a lot of, so let's take the civil rights movement, for example. A lot of people organized within the church, and the church was the mainstay. The church was the full support to organize and bring people together and get them out, get them marching. And now all you have to do is like have a bunch of followers, send out a bunch of tweets saying, hey, a protest. Hey, we're going to do a protest at 2 p.m. at Daily Plaza. Retweet this, bring your friends. And you don't it's so instant, like, mm-hmm. before you're like, it's word of mouth, like in the mm-hmm. 1950s, 1960s, it's word of mouth, like, hey, mm-hmm. meet at the church so that we can then plan. And mm-hmm. like, now it's just such like an instant, like, hey, I'm gonna have this like flash protest right now. See y'all downtown. Nobody's
expecting this. Yeah. No, I think that's a really interesting point about how, because I mean, when I think of social media, I've talked to a lot of older people about it, and they're like, social media, like these types of things are just ruining youth. Like, they're destroying the youth. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess if you're only using it for nude pics, and probably it is like rotting the mind a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think of social media as like a relationship. And it's a way of being able to have conversations and relationship with people who you're not necessarily in a, you know, close proximity with. It's a way of like extending these relationships. And so I think it's really interesting that you brought up the point about having to kind of build up these movements through word of mouth, through personal relationships. But now it's a matter of, you know, being able to phrase something in under 140 characters mm-hmm. and sending it out, and then like thousands of people showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, I'm like, it's pretty incredible that we've been given these tools where we can barely be able to fit it into a sentence.
Yeah.
And like cause movements to happen. Like, yeah. That's just really crazy, which to me means that while a lot of different types of social media can be used for fun, like there's also a greater responsibility that comes along with it as well. So I'm just wondering what you think about that, like the responsibility of social media. If you think that that's something, you know, maybe that goes too into like freedom of speech, blah, 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 responsibility, which we're definitely not getting into.
Because I have such conflicting views, because like, you know how celebrities are quote unquote role models mm-hmm. and people like police their behavior.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no one should be looking up to anyone with the last name Kardashian or Jenner, mm-hmm. like period. Mm-hmm. But like,
speak for yourself. People,
I'm going to say that celebrities, I think that people need to like kind of lay off celebrities
mm-hmm.
when it comes to like policing their behavior, policing what they post on social media, mm-hmm. saying that they need to like take more of a stand.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is, I'm going to make it like a quick exception. So Azealia Banks is always tweeting. Like if she's like not in a Twitter feud, she's like tweeting about cultural appropriation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes making really excellent points,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think it's like kind of hard for her message to get through, because like sometimes she does it in the most like ignorant ass way possible. And I'm just like, girl, you're saying all these great things, but just, you know, put it in a nicer package. So for example, what is this girl? Azealia
Iggy?
I was talking about, I wanted to talk about like the Iggy beef with Azealia. And she's like, hey, Iggy, if you want to like culturally appropriate our music and our culture, then get you want to be black, but you don't want to be black.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to like have to talk. You don't want to have to tweet about
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. Like you don't.
Police brutality.
Yeah. You're like tweeting and complaining that the protesters outside of your recording studio are disrupting you.
Mm-hmm.
Like how foolish do you sound? How foolish do you look? How can you say that you love this culture
mm-hmm.
If you're never gonna ride for it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that like, I like when that happens in social media. I like when there is, when someone's called out, like someone like Iggy Azalea is called out, because I think Iggy Azalea is the absolute worst. I thought the first time I heard Fancy, I never want to hear it again.
I'm so fancy.
No. I think that I've always thought that she was the worst. So I love when she gets called out. And mm-hmm. I think she needs to be on a one-way flight to Australia and not be allowed to get a visa in America ever again. like, let her stay on mm-hmm. that giant rock in the South Pacific. Anyway.
Oh, you really hate that girl.
Anyway.
I want to clarify something. So when I said, you know, social media comes with great responsibility, mm-hmm. I think what I mean is, you know, like, I in no way want to police somebody's behavior of what they're saying. I think that, you know, your social media, your persona, like, that is your thing. Like, you present that how you want to. But I think that when you're a celebrity or when you're anybody who has a lot of followers, you have to realize that you're going to influence people.
Yeah, definitely.
And if, you know, Kim Kardashian is like, this is my new favorite color of lipstick, yeah. and it's probably going to go off the shelves within a mm-hmm. week. And that's fine. Like, if that is how she uses her social media page, and mm-hmm. I think that's great. And that's what she does. But I just also think, just imagine if she was actually using social media for, like, a cause, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much you can do with that many followers. And I in no way want to say, like, you know, you shouldn't focus on, like, beauty and hair and all that kind of stuff. Because I don't think that everybody is meant to be,
yeah.
you know, some kind of, like, civil rights leader.
Yeah, It's kind of ironic because her husband is so militant. Mm-hmm. He's straight militant. There's like,
that's like straight the best way. Militant.
That's the best way to describe Kanye. And like, I love Kanye. We're both Southsiders. I more or less ride for Ye. He's up to some tomfoolery, but he's not afraid to have his voice heard, and he's going to use his career, his position of power to get some realness out there and get mm-hmm. some facts out there. So, okay, fine. I ride for you. Yay. I feel
and
you.
I'm voting for him for president. I will be working for his campaign. So.
Oh my God. I heard something about that on the news today. They're like,
Donald Trump is running. If people are going to vote for Donald Trump,
they
might as well vote for Kanye, because at least he's more real.
Yes.
Right. And he has better fashion sense. That's debatable.
And his hair is better.
And he has hair.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, my God.
I like her the funniest thing on the news. They were talking about Kanye West's presidency. And they're like, a black Southside Chicago person with a funny name, who would vote for them?
It's just Barack.
Yeah, that's like that was like the joke. They're like, Barack Obama. I get it.
Or Kanye.
Yeah. So maybe more Southsiders should run for president.
What were we talking about before we got on Kanye?
We were talking about Kim Kardashian, and then we were talking about like the responsibilities of having like Twitter.
Yeah, so maybe the responsibility is not the word I'm looking for.
Okay.
But I think what I mean is that when you have that many followers, no matter what you put on your website, you're going to be influencing a ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I think I meant to say. So I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry.
So what do you think, like, is the role that the church plays now in activism?
I think that where I was a little iffy is when it said that it's replacing
mm-hmm.
social media is replacing certain things in the church. So I think that with the church and with religion, it kind of gives you a philosophical or religious or ethical basis or foundation from which you're acting on. And so I think that a lot of people are motivated to do good based off of those worldviews. But I do think that I agree with you on the fact that, like, social media does an incredible job at mobilizing those people. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, the philosophical positions and, like, religion and those types of things do a really good job at basically convicting people, at saying, you know, like, what does this person or this belief or this book tell you to do? Or what does it tell you to think about humans and life and that kind of stuff? And I think that's valuable. And then I think that things like social media are a way of saying, like, here's a lot of like-minded people, regardless if you're Muslim or not religious or Christian, like, this is a cause we all share. Like, yes. Meet at this place at this time. I think that a lot of churches are still doing a really good job at mobilizing people and getting to, like, you know, getting people together to, like, work on these causes. But I just think that the climate has changed, that now people kind of know if you want to start a movement that you just go to the internet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even think people know how to do it in, like, real life anymore. And so, like, when I feel like when I was in school and people would be like, we're throwing this event or we're doing this, let's create some flyers. I would be like, wait, what? Why are we wasting trees to create some flyers when you know good and well people are just going to be like, send me a Facebook invite.
Right.
There is no need to be creating these flyers. So I think when it comes to mobilizing different religious groups or just groups that have, this is going to sound bad, but groups that have a, like an older population, there just have to be people who can come in and be like, look, y'all, like, I understand you trying to just like word of mouth this car wash to raise money for your church, but you might really need to take to the web about this, you know? Anyway, I don't know why I'm ranting on that either. I just go on so... Like, my last name really, truly fits my personality.
So does my last name.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Best. I hate it.
If your last name was Worst, it would fit. That's a Drake song. It goes, Worst. Mother never loved us. Anyway.
So do you think as the next generation, the post-millennials come in and they start, you know, doing their things, living their lives, and they're participating in activism. Like, let's be real. Our generation, we don't really do church. Like, we, it's not, like, I saw some statistics where our generation are the least religious of all previous generations, and we're least likely to go to go to and practice religion. So as the next generation dies out and there's fewer religious people organizing, what is it going to look like as social media evolves? What is it going to look like? That was the worst sound.
Because that is such a hard question. Like, I'm some kind of expert on social issues.
But then also, I don't, you don't have to predict the future.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't know what's going to come. Because it's like, I could have never anticipated social media and the impact it was going to play. And the way that it really unites us with not only other Americans, but people around the globe. So, like, if you're looking, like, there are tweets from people in like Afghanistan holding up signs that are saying like Black Lives Matter, and it's and like in various countries across the world, this message is getting out to them, and they're seeing it, and they're riding with us, you know, and it's this amazing thing because it stretches, social media stretches so much further than anyone could have ever anticipated, and it's really globalized. Like, as our world becomes more global, like more globalized, it's bringing us closer together and kind of also keeping us very far apart at the same time, because we're like on our phones, we're on our computers, we're tweeting, we're doing status updates, we're posting, we're taking selfies and posting pictures, and we're also taking pictures of like protest selfies, I guess.
Terrible.
Hashtag protest selfie.
Protest selfie. Yeah. Is my protest selfie better than yours? Yeah, there's a burning car in the background. Like, get out of here. But I think to talk to your point, like, obviously, I don't think that I can accurately predict what social media is going to be for the next generation, just because I'm just not intellectual in that way. But I think it's just really interesting to think about like how my parents use social media versus how I use social media versus how my 11-year-old little brother is starting to use social media. Like, my mom and my stepdad are pretty young, so that they're using it, but they've, you know, they know a world where, you know, it doesn't necessarily exist. Like, they know what it's like to live in the world and then be young enough to kind of be a part of it and learn it and not be left behind. I'm also kind of a part of that world where it was like, in my childhood, I know what it's like not to have social media, but was introduced to it at a young enough age where it's just a part of my life now. But looking at my 11-year-old brother, like, he does not know what it's like to live in a world without internet, without being able to connect and play video games with like a kid across the country, without like, you know, having Facebook, mm-hmm. all these things. And I don't know what these movements are going to look like with a population of people who know what it's like to be so connected. Mm-hmm. And maybe that just means that the systems we use, the way in which we, you know, use certain things like Twitter is going to get sophisticated, or maybe more websites are going to be created that are more sophisticated. But I don't know. It's just a weird thing. It's just, I don't know what it's like to have your entire life be so connected, or to not be able to remember a time when it wasn't.
Yeah.
It's just, it freaks me out kind of.
I mean, like, as we start, like, getting older and having kids, they're going to be, like, it's going to be enhanced. Mm-hmm. They're going to be, like, one step above us. Like, everything is only going to continue to improve and get more complicated. And we're just going to get older.
My hair's going to get gray. Talking so much about, like, how social media just connects people so much. I want to talk about Snapchat.
Yes, I love Snapchat.
Because so many people hate on Snapchat and mm-hmm. don't get the point of Snapchat. And I get that it was probably created to send nude pics to people. I get that. But Snapchat is incredible.
It's amazing.
Especially with this, like, the story features, or mm-hmm. where you can have the sponsored events.
Yeah.
So I go on this, like, the little sponsored events thing every day. And I feel like there's always one that is created for somewhere in the world that I just don't have experience of, you know, mm-hmm. Whether it be like somewhere in the Middle East or somewhere in China or somewhere in like Africa, like there are these stories where people all in that region just kind of snap what they're doing on a daily basis. And it's probably one of the best ways I've seen of like humanizing certain mm-hmm. cultures. Whereas like, you know, on Twitter, it's like, I was like, yeah, it's cool that you're like sending a picture of yourself, like holding up this sign. But with Snapchat, it's like, I'm seeing you like eat food with your family,
yeah,
or yelling at this person, or like there's an animal in the street, or like you're drinking a latte. Like it's incredible. And I'm wondering how things like Snapchat can be utilized in these like ways of making movements. Not necessarily, I don't think it's a good platform for saying like, meet me at this place at this mm-hmm. time, but I think it's incredible at saying like, you know, I mean, this might be offensive, but, you know, like, stop making the stereotype of all Muslims are terrorists. Like, you know, here we can clearly see this culture where, you know, Islam is so ingrained right. into it. And these people are amazing and they're beautiful and like, they have stories. Live. Yeah. I mean, how can we use things like that to, I mean, even like, not necessarily start movements, but like start allowing other people to tell their own stories so that maybe we don't need movement. Yeah. Anyway, that was also a long rant to talk about how I just love Snapchat.
Snapchat's amazing. I think like Snapchat's really great for, so like, let's say you're using Twitter, Insta, Facebook for activism purposes. Snapchat's like a nice place to just like go. And you can send snaps to whoever you want, mm-hmm. or you can like post stories, and it has this really nice privacy mm-hmm. about it that I don't feel like you get when you post something on mm-hmm. the internet. I like the intimacy and the privacy of being able to like snap, because you and I snap each other all the time, constantly. We honestly just have conversations over Snapchat. Yeah. We send each other 10-second videos. Over Snapchat.
Because it's so much easier than FaceTime. It's like, I don't want to have like a 5-minute conversation, but I like that I can check that 10 seconds whenever I want to. Right. There's some control in that. I like it.
And it's just like a nice way, because I'm way more likely to like, if I'm doing something fun or if I'm at a concert, you're going to see that all up in my Snapchat stories, but you will never know from my Facebook that I do anything.
Yeah.
You would think that I'm a hermit.
My cat is so lame.
Yeah.
On Facebook. But on Snapchat, I'm like, this girl is live. Is that Neo?
seriously. So I think it's like I think Snapchat's like a lovely, for as social media goes, it's a lovely escape. It's an intimate escape. It's something you mm-hmm. can really like share with people you really care about, and not people who are just maybe acquaintances or even people who may not know you.
And, you know, I love that when you're talking about the more intimate side of it, because in a lot of ways it is very intimate. And then in a lot of other ways, it's just like, if you want people to be exposed to what you're doing, just put it on one of these, like, you know, larger stories, and then everybody's included. Mm-hmm. You know, y'all, that means that Snapchat is not the worst. Yeah. Because people hate on it. It's mainly people who just don't know how to use it.
Yeah. You need to get, like, you have to get at least one good Snapchat friend. Misha's, like, my one good Snapchat friend.
If you have terrible Snapchat friends, then it's, like, what is the point of this?
There's actually no point if your friends are, like,
point.
Not on it like you are.
Yo, I am on. Yeah. I am, like, on. Yeah. I got Snapchat trophies. I'm killing the game. You know what we should talk about besides Snapchat and killing the game, how we both do?
Okay.
Black Twitter.
Yes.
Black Twitter, because I want to be a part of it, and I don't know how.
Where is the membership form to enroll Black Twitter? How do we get it?
Do we need to just, like, hit a certain amount of good tweets?
Right.
Right? Like, you have to get, like, 15 good tweets about blackness, and then you can be a part of Black Twitter. Because, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, and what, like, what, how do news stations even talk about it? It's like, black, this is live, it's on, like, Black Twitter. It's right. Like,
it's a thing, but it's like a thing, a real life thing where people are just like, honestly, they're like, oh, let me tweet this out to Black Twitter. You know Black Twitter?
Can you put it on your resume if you're one of the people, right? Though? Can you be like, I am a contributor to Black Twitter? Like, how does it work?
I would hire you, frankly.
Me? You would hire me?
I would, well, someone who would be like,
oh, okay.
I'm huge on Black Twitter. I'm huge on Black
Twitter. 1 million followers on Black Twitter.
Wow. It's really become, like, this separate entity from Twitter, mm-hmm. that is well recognized in white America.
Yeah.
They're like, I was watching something, and they're like, oh, you know Black Twitter, right? And they're like, there's a Black Twitter, too. It's a really kind of amazing phenomenon, and I really...
I love it.
Yeah, like... Black people, good job.
They be going ham on Black Twitter.
Yes.
Don't let Donald Trump say anything racist, because Black Twitter...
They will eat you alive.
Eat you alive.
Annihilate you.
They come up with some crazy, so cool hashtags, clever. Too. Like, but sometimes they're also funny, you know? Like, sometimes it's not always political. It's like, you know, you grew up black when you, like, have some burn marks around your edges.
Yes.
You probably got a perm, you know?
Like, on the tips of your ears.
Yeah. My mom was good about it, so never
mind. My mom always burnt the tips of my ears, so.
Oh, that's why they look so weird.
My ears do. Girl. Anyway.
Black Twitter. I don't know. I just think it's really incredible. I don't know how this became a thing. I don't know when this happened. Who started it? It's a movement in itself.
Yes.
Who, do you really know remarkable. Any of the big people on Black Twitter? I can't name any, but I just know that when BuzzFeed does an article about them, I always read it. It's just like an entity that just exists, and I don't know how to talk about it.
I don't, like, is there Trinity, like, a list out, like a list on, like, these are the top players
top
on Black
15
Twitter.
Black Twitter people.
Can y'all, listeners, please send us the list of top Black Twitter people?
Because we want to be them. Well, I gotta start tweeting.
Yeah, I know. I actually have to use Twitter. I have literally one
Which
tweet
I don't wanna do.
Currently. As of today, I have, like, one tweet on my Twitter.
Aww.
Oh, it's because I just don't tweet.
I don't like tweeting either. How do you think? Okay, let me start over. So there were a lot of people with really valid voices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who have really great ideas to start movements or, like, reform certain things, but they're just not good with technology. What are some of the things you think help really get certain people more popular or, like, help them gain followers and then help them to become more influential when it comes to social media? I don't know. That's why I threw this question out. I was like, maybe you know. One, but maybe if we knew, we would be on Black Twitter. So I'm not sure.
I think you have to be, like, funny or witty. or have a few tweets that are like funny or witty, or people like, oh, that was super clever. Mm-hmm. I like that. I'll follow you. You have clever tweets. Or you get like endorsed, I guess endorsed will do mm-hmm. for the word that I'm looking for, by like someone who is big, where they're like, when they like start following you, or they're just like, or they retweet you mm-hmm. or something. And that's when I think you would just start gaining followers. Because they follow. Is it? Do you ever think about like the terminology of Twitter itself? Like,
no,
followers. Like, lead. Like, let's. Normally, being a follower would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
And like in like society, in real life, IRL, outside of your computer, outside of your phone, someone calls you a follower, they're insulting you.
Not on Twitter.
Not on Twitter. But then, like, when you say like, oh yeah, I have like 100,000 followers. Is there something kind of weird about that?
I think it's kind of weird.
It's kind of, it's something kind of
like a little army, like you're putting a little army of something.
Well, I mean, some Twitter armies do like get buck, like those little
black Twitter,
like the Beehive, people who like stand for the Beliebers, like people like,
oh, just
if you say like, if you have any kind of relative popularity and you say something offensive about like their favorite star, they will come for you. They will come for your head. They will come for your edges. They will not stop.
You said your edges.
They will not stop.
But the thing is, it's not even real. Okay, maybe this is another rant too. But what you just said is so interesting to me, because people get so emotional over social media. Like when somebody says something on social media and other people attack it,
mm-hmm.
it's like when I close my computer, like you literally don't exist right. anymore. And I can go out and drink my latte and go shopping and I'm not even going to think about you. But for some reason, people really take this stuff seriously. And I mean, I guess you kind of had to take it seriously. But on some issues, I'm like, why do 1 million Beliebers want to attack certain people and make right. their life miserable? Then you got the people who start hacking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it? Anonymous?
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening, don't hack us. But like they're... Anyway, I think I just need to take back what I just said. Because with stuff like Anonymous and Beliebers, they will destroy you. And that is a very real thing in a very real world. So never mind. I'm sorry.
I guess that was a whole nother level. But I guess it really shows how compelling what a community social media mm. is. And you can, it's so, like-minded people are so accessible. Mm. It's insane.
I need to find some like-minded people.
Well, you're a bit more of a hater than I am, so we're not completely like-minded.
I'm not a hater. You're loving and cute.
You told me that if my last name was the worst, and I lived up to it.
Instead of our historical fact of the day, we're going to do a historical shout out to Bayard Rustin. Take yes. it away, Kat.
Bayard Rustin. Dopest dude. He was at the very forefront of the civil rights movement and led alongside Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but couldn't be the face of the movement because why? He was... Well, let me finish this sentence. Because he was gay. Mm-mm-mm. And you cannot be in front of a church-led movement as a gay man, apparently, in the mm-mm-mm. 1950s and 60s or mm-mm-mm. now. But shout out to him because he is a queer pacifist and we love him. Bayard Rustin, may you rest in peace. You're dope.
Dopest of them all.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud. Check our website at unlearnedpodcast.com. All of our social media links are there.
Mm-hmm.
Check us out. Send us your listener letters. We would love to give solicited advice. Also unsolicited, so
we're really good at advice.
We're very smart ladies, just saying, with vast life experiences.
Oh yeah.
So Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Happy Columbus Day.